News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. This is the show where we discuss issues that have been playing out in the news around Michigan's great Southwest. We talk about local events, things like festivals, fundraisers, things happening at local museums, just interesting events taking place. We talk about Lansing news. We try to check in with our state lawmakers as much as possible. And sometimes we talk to our congressman to find out what he's been up to in Washington and to kind of get an update on what's going on over there. I'm the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. And if you would like to weigh in on something that we discuss here on Our Take, just send us an email. The email address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's ourtake@wsjm.com. O-U-R-T-A-K-E. Coming up on today's show, we've got plenty to talk about. First of all, I'll give you an update on what the St. Joe City Commission did this week. They met on Monday. It was a fairly long meeting, mostly because a large part of the discussion focused on one issue. It concerns a reconstruction and repaving project taking place on Wallace Avenue, which is a street over by the high school. Some residents are a little upset about some parking changes that'll be happening on the street as a result of this project. We'll hear about that today. Also, commissioners, St. Joe City commissioners this week approved a new pedestrian bridge across the Pawpaw River. This is Harbor Shores related. So we'll get the skinny on that coming up on today's Our Take. Also on Monday, Mayor Mike Gary, he updated everyone on this legislation that the St. Joe City commissioners are not very happy about. It's a state Senate bill that would remove local control from regulating short-term rental properties. And the mayor just reminded everyone about this on at Monday's meeting and had a few thoughts on what the city commission should do to try to fight this legislation. So we will hear about that coming up on today's show. Also today, we will check in with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. They want to remind parents of something they should do when a child is born. This seems pretty obvious, but apparently a reminder is necessary for some couples. They want to remind everyone about the importance of establishing a child's paternity upon birth. You have to get this child's father registered, and that opens up eligibility for all sorts of services and benefits. We will chat with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services about that issue today. August this month, which is almost over, August is Child Support Month, when the state emphasizes the need for everyone to pay their child support. This subject's a little bit different. We'll find out about that coming up on today's show. And then finally, we'll check in with Girls on the Run. You are familiar with Girls on the Run. If you aren't, I'll tell you what it is. Girls on the Run is a program that holds a 5K run for girls between the third and eighth grades each year. It's a yearly program, sort of a year-long program, often managed with the help of the schools. They get girls enrolled in Girls on the Run, and they teach girls about healthy living and self-esteem and all these things they need to learn. And then everything culminates with the big 5K run. Around here, it's held in Berrien Springs each year. And Girls on the Run recently released a report on the benefits that the organization, that participation has on young ladies who join up. And so we'll hear about that with the local chapter president of Girls on the Run, Julie Boss. She's coming up on today's show. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Thanks for tuning in. If you'd like to weigh in on something that we discuss on today's show, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E. Right now, we are going to take a quick break. Stick around, and we will be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. On this show, we talk about issues playing out in the news around Michigan's great Southwest. If you hear about it on WSJM News at some point, it will probably come up on Our Take. And so we've got a busy show today, plenty of guests, plenty of things to discuss. If you'd like to give us your take, if you'd like to offer your thoughts on something that we discuss, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That is O-U-R-T-A-K-E. At WSJM WinStakeUp.com. So this is the Wednesday edition of the show. Wednesday, which, of course, is everyone's favorite day. Who doesn't love Wednesday? And it's actually, you know, this is almost like a shortened work week in many places because with Labor Day next week, a lot of people are taking Friday off so they can get a whole extended weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday all off. But have no fear, here in the WSJM newsroom, it's all hands on deck for Friday. We will all be here Friday. We're not cutting out early. We're staying to the bitter end of this week. Right now, I wanted to give you a quick update about some new hunting rules that the Michigan Department of Natural Resources announced this week. The DNR has announced some new rules that hunters need to follow, especially, well, these rules apply to hunters who hunt out of the state and then come back into Michigan. They've issued new regulations, and this is in an attempt to stop the spread of the chronic wasting disease. This is a devastating disease that you don't want breaking out in your local deer population. What it does is it causes chronic weight loss that leads to death in the deer that get this disease. It can also affect moose and reindeer, animals like that. And it's been found in 23 states so far. Here in Michigan, we've had just 9 cases since 2015, but the State Department of Natural Resources does not want chronic wasting disease spreading here to Michigan. So DNR deer management specialist Chad Stewart told us this week, these new rules affect you if you're hunting outside of Michigan for deer, elk, or moose.
Hunters who are hunting outside of Michigan cannot bring entire deer carcasses back into the state if it's harvested outside of the state.
So DNR deer management specialist Chad Stewart there telling us there's these new rules about what you can bring back into Michigan. He got a little more specific here.
They can only bring back deboned meat, quarters, which is essentially, you know, like the legs of the animal with the bones still attached. That's fine. They can bring back hides. They can bring back antlers. They can bring back antlers attached to what we call a skull cap. And they can obviously bring back finished taxidermy mounts.
So that's a notice to deer hunters if you're hunting out of state. And around here in Southwest Michigan, I suppose the odds of you going to another state to hunt are probably higher than in other parts of the state if you head south or something. So Michigan Department of Natural Resources wants you to know there are certain parts of the deer you can't bring back into the state if you're hunting elsewhere. And this is to stop the spread of the chronic wasting disease, which you don't want in the local deer population. It kills off the deer, and we don't want that spreading here. Be advised, all deer hunters. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, you're listening to Our Take. Right now, I wanted to discuss the St. Joe City Commission. They met on Monday, and I was there. Fairly lengthy meeting. They talked about several issues, and the issue that took up the most time at Monday's meeting was this repaving and resurfacing project on Wallace Avenue. Now, Wallace Avenue is a little side street over by the high school. It's sort of by Terra Florist over there off of Lakeshore. If you go over there on your way to the high school, you may find yourself traveling down Wallace. Well, the road is not in the best shape, and so the city has been planning to resurface Wallace Avenue all the way from Lakeshore over to South State Street. They're actually reconstructing a section of the road as well. There is a difference between reconstructing and resurfacing, but it's complicated. Point is, they're working on the road all the way from Lakeshore to South State. And so as they've been planning this project, they've engaged residents in the area. And something that they learned at a certain point was they were going to have to get rid of on-street parking for a section of the road. This is because in order to qualify for $460,000 in federal road money, which is actually administered by the Southwest Michigan Planning Commission, in order to qualify for this money, they have to add a 10-foot non-motorized path, as it's called. In other words, it's a path for bicycles and for pedestrians. And it's 10 feet wide, so it's a fairly wide path. I asked if it could be compared to maybe the size of it, something like the John and Dee Dee Howard Trail. It's roughly maybe like that size. They have to add a path like that along the side of Wallace Avenue in order to qualify for this federal money. What that means is there will be no more room for on-street parking on part of the road. So the part where there will be no more parking will be between Stadium and Lakeshore. This isn't necessarily a whole lot of spaces, but the folks who live over there are not happy. I gather they have fairly short driveways over there. A lot of people park on the street. Well, they won't be able to anymore once the street is reconstructed. And city commissioners, Monday night, they went over three different options for this project. Two of them involved getting rid of that parking. One of them involved not getting rid of that parking. Not getting rid of that parking would have resulted in the loss of that $460,000 in federal funding. So the commission, in the end, went with the option where they would get rid of some of those parking spaces. And City Commissioner Mary Goff said, you know, this is not really the best solution, but
I do think the project needs to be done. But it breaks my heart to know what you have to give up.
So there's also some sycamore trees over there that people are afraid might be chopped down. But a whole separate meeting is going to be held about those trees. It looks like they're just going to trim them a bit for this work that may get started next year. It's a $1.3 million overall project, $460,000 coming from federal funds administered by the Southwest Michigan Planning Commission. So no parking from Stadium to Lakeshore. However, there will still be a parking on Wallace from Lakeview to Stadium. That's, I believe, over by the ball fields, Dickinson Park there. So this parking change led to a whole lot of discussion at Monday's City Commission meeting. And in the end, they approved this plan that will see Wallace from Lakeshore Drive over to South State Street being at least resurfaced or reconstructed in certain areas. They're also doing a bunch of sewer and water work down below while they're at it. So this much-needed project looks like it will get done. They're hoping that they can do it next summer. Also at this week's City Commission meeting, commissioners approved a new pedestrian bridge over the Pawpaw River. It will run from the Harbor Village neighborhood, which is a Harbor Shores development. It's the Harbor Village neighborhood over by Harbor Shores. It will now have a pedestrian bridge running from there over across the Pawpaw River to a site that I was told used to be a Volkswagen lot. So they're going to have this 210 feet long steel and concrete pedestrian bridge running all the way across the Pawpaw River. I talked with Cornerstone Alliance's Rob Cleveland about this. He was at the meeting on Monday, sort of speaking on behalf of Harbor Shores as they seek this. Now, the reason why city commissioners were asked to approve it is they had to grant an easement for this to happen. Harbor Shores will build the bridge and be mostly responsible for its maintenance. But Cornerstone Alliance's Rob Cleveland told me this will enhance mobility in the area.
There are no gates, there are no barriers. This is a public bridge that promotes the public paths in Harbor Shores, and it's a tremendous asset for the community. And we're hopeful that ultimately we'll be able to receive funding for it.
So once they put this new pedestrian bridge in, people will be able to walk all over the area from St. Joe to Benton Harbor.
Folks from the hotel, folks from Upton Drive will be able to walk all the way to the Benton Harbor Arts District.
It's about a $1 million bridge. Harbor Shores is going to seek grants to pay for it, and they're hoping it could be in place by the 2018 Senior PGA Championship. Of course, one problem here is Benton Harbor City Commission, I believe, will also have to approve an easement, or at least the city of Benton Harbor will. We'll see if that happens in a near future meeting or if it gets held up. But that's the other thing that city commissioners did this week. One more thing. Mayor Mike Gary had an update for everyone on this legislation in the state Senate that St. Joe City commissioners are not pleased with. It is short-term rental legislation. It's legislation that would essentially stop local governments from regulating short-term rental properties. It takes local authority away from this. Now, in the city of St. Joe, short-term rentals are a concern because a lot of people don't want just a bunch of party houses that get rented out during the summer and are empty the rest of the year. They don't want to be surrounded by these houses. So the city commission, the city regulators have been on top of short-term rentals pretty closely for years now. And under the state Senate bill, they would lose the authority to regulate those things. They do not like this. They've talked about it previously. And at the city commission meeting on Monday, Mayor Mike Gary said they've got to remain vigilant on this. They've got to communicate with their state lawmakers. He knows that state representatives Dave Pagel and Kim Lasada are both against the bill. He's also talked with State Senator John Prose, who would really be the one tasked with stopping this bill in the Senate, and they are in discussions. But they want to get the word out to people about this, especially to, say, condominium associations, because this would affect them as well. And essentially, according to the mayor, this is the real estate lobby behind this legislation. City commissioners remain focused on this. You know, we haven't heard about it since about May, but it's still out there, and they want to make their voice heard so that this legislation that would remove their ability to regulate short-term rentals does not pass. And we'll keep following that as it makes its way through Lansing, or maybe it'll just die in the state Senate without getting anywhere. We don't know. City commissioners have their eye on this. And that's what happened on Monday night at the St. Joe City Commission meeting. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Coming up next segment, we'll chat with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. They are promoting the importance of establishing a child's paternity at birth. This is an important thing that the state is reminding everyone about. We'll get an update on that. And coming up later on today's show, we'll talk about Girls on the Run. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around. We will be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. This is the show where we discuss issues that have been playing out in the news around Michigan's Great Southwest. We talk about local events that are coming up on the weekends, for example, various festivals happening. Now that we are at the end of the summer, those have sort of died down, but there are a few highlights throughout the winter that we should be hearing about on the show. We also check in with our state lawmakers whenever possible, find out what they've been working on in Lansing. I like to know what they've been up to. And when possible, we talk about national news with members of Congress. Last week, we had Congressman Fred Upton on. I believe we'll have him on again this week. So if you'd like to weigh in on something we discuss here on Our Take, just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E. At WSJM.com, we are all ears. We'd love to hear from you. So on this segment, I wanted to talk with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. They sent out a notice earlier this month about how it's important for unmarried parents to legally establish paternity for their child as soon as the child is born. So if these parents are not married, you want to have it on record who the father is. And I chatted with spokesperson Bob Wheaton all about this, why it's important, what the child qualifies for when paternity is established. And, you know, August is Child Support Month. This is related to that. So I have had a conversation with Michigan Department of Health and Human Services spokesperson Bob Wheaton about this. Let's hear that conversation now. All right, Bob, first of all, as just established, August is Child Support Month, and you're promoting the idea of establishing paternity. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes, August is Child Support Month, and one thing that we're really trying to emphasize this year is the importance of families establishing paternity at birth. We call this giving children the dadvantage. So we want parents to establish paternity at birth because that makes the situation a lot easier for the child. It makes a child eligible to have public benefits such as health insurance and Social Security. It allows the child to stay healthier because there's more knowledge then about the family's complete medical history if there's been an established father for the child. So we're just telling families that, particularly in situations where there's a child born to an unmarried mom, that it's very important to make that paternity determination at the time of birth so that the child can have all the benefits that comes from knowing, you know, who both parents are.
Now, how do you establish paternity?
What usually needs to happen is when the child is born at the hospital, if both parents can be there. So, usually the paternity process will start at the hospital when the baby is born, and it's a fairly simple process to establish paternity if both parents show photo identification and then read and sign an affidavit that the hospital gives them when the child is born. And it's free of charge, so no cost for this. And both parents need to sign the documentation. And then from there, the hospital staff can answer any questions that the parents may have.
All right, so you talk about the child being able to get all the benefits they're supposed to get. Are we talking about child support here?
Child support would be one, but then also even public assistance benefits. That when people are applying for public assistance for a child, they'll always be asked the question, if it's the mom applying, well, who is the child's father, and is there financial assistance coming from the father? So if paternity has been established, that makes it a lot easier for the child to have access to benefits if there's proof of who the father is and information about that individual's income, then determination can be made easier on any assistance that the child is eligible for, and you know, whether it be health insurance or Social Security or food assistance or anything like that.
Okay, now obviously there are situations, I imagine, of course, there has to be, where a child's father does not want paternity established. So what happens then? I imagine those cases wind up in the courts.
Yeah, there's processes in place for testing to determine who the father is. If it's not a situation where the father voluntarily comes to the hospital and says, "Yes, I'm the father of the child," and signs the affidavit at birth, so it's good for there to be conversations even before the child is born. If the child is being born to an unmarried mom, is to have a conversation with the father and establish paternity at that point, or have any necessary tests done to determine the paternity at that point, rather than waiting until the child has been born.
All right, and you think just making sure paternity is firmly established is psychologically beneficial for the child?
Yeah, I mean, we believe there's obviously financial benefits, but also psychological benefits and social benefits to a child having a healthy and loving relationship with both parents. If the child knows who the child's father is and spends time with the father and receives financial support and emotional support from the father, then that child's going to be better off.
All right, and there is a state program called the Voluntary Acknowledgement of Paternity, which is run by the Child Support Office, I believe.
Yeah, the Office of Child Support is within our larger department, the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services.
All right, we're talking with Bob Wheaton with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services about the importance of establishing a child's paternity at birth. Bob, is there someplace people can go to get detailed information?
Yes, if parents want to know more about establishing paternity, they can go to a website we've set up that's mi.gov/dadvantage. So as in dad, D-A-D. V-A-N-T-A-G-E.
All right. That was Bob Wheaton, spokesperson for the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, telling us about the importance of giving your child a dad vantage. That's making sure paternity is legally established upon birth. They have a website set up for this. You could probably hear me typing it in there while Bob was wrapping up his comments. And the website is mi.gov/dad. Vantage. They say it's good for children to know both of their parents. It gives the child a sense of identity. In terms of family ties, every child has a right to a relationship with both parents. The child may come to know both sides of the family. This gives the child a sense of belonging, as well as financial support. The law requires both parents to support their children. And parents can share the cost of raising their child, even if they don't live together. They're supposed to. Children are more likely to have their needs met when both parents give financial support, and the benefits of making sure that paternity is established upon birth for a young infant is the child has a right to benefits from both parents, and those can include health and life insurance, Social Security, pensions, inheritance rights, veterans benefits. The benefits are an important aspect of this. Also, knowing medical histories of both biological parents, very important. So the state has set up this website, mi.gov/dadvantage, to make sure everyone is well aware about this. And of course, those fathers who try to get out of establishing paternity will just find themselves wrapped up in the courts. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take, the show where we discuss issues playing out in the news around Michigan's great Southwest and all around the fair state of Michigan. Speaking about something that's been going on in Michigan this week. Now, you have heard, of course, you're well aware of the hurricane that happened down in Texas, which has caused flooding all around Houston. And there's thousands of people have been evacuated out of there. Some of them are now in Detroit. Some of the dozens of travelers that had been stranded in Houston were evacuated to Detroit this week. They actually came into Detroit Monday night. And thanks to Spirit Airlines, a woman named Tammy Cole has lived in Houston for 2 years now. She's one of the nearly 100 people who were able to make it to Detroit on Monday night, thanks to Spirit Airlines.
It was a miracle. All of us among the passengers, we were all talking amongst ourselves on how it was a miracle that this even came about. We don't even know how it came about.
So those passengers were brought in from Houston's airport this week to Michigan. The airport down in Houston has been closed, of course, ever since Hurricane Harvey started flooding the roads and airport runways. So some of the folks who had been stranded in Houston are now getting out. Some are in Detroit. More will likely come to Detroit. And of course, there are Red Cross volunteers from Michigan, hundreds of them, down in Texas right now helping out with recovery and relief efforts. We salute all those fine individuals for putting up their time. And if you want to give to the relief effort, the way to do that, one way to do that is to give to the Red Cross. And the website is redcross.org. That's redcross.org. You go to their website right now, and right there on the front page, it says make a difference. Help those affected by Hurricane Harvey. And you can just click donate, and you can contribute to this relief effort. If all you can give is a couple of bucks, give that and help out the Red Cross with Houston and Texas in general hurricane recovery. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take, the show where we talk about issues playing out in the news around Michigan's Great Southwest. We've got one more segment on today's show. And for that segment, we will learn about Girls on the Run. This is a program for young girls. We'll hear about it next segment. I have chatted with Julie Boss, who runs the local Girls on the Run program. She told me about a recent report which found the benefits that Girls on the Run has for the young ladies who take part in their fine program. We will hear about that coming up in the next segment. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. We're going to take a quick break. Stick around. We will be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Thanks for tuning in to Our Take. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. I'm glad to be with you on this show. We talk about issues playing out in the news around Michigan's Great Southwest, things happening in your community, the things you hear about and you see. We talk about them on this show. So far on today's show, we got an update on what St. Joe City Commissioners did this week. They approved a reconstruction project for a local street. They approved the construction of a pedestrian bridge over the Pawpaw River. And the mayor gave everyone an update on this short-term rental legislation that he is not happy about. And then on the second segment of the show, we chatted with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services about the importance of establishing a child's paternity at birth. There are many benefits that the child will get as long as paternity is firmly established. So the state spread that message this month, it being Child Support Month. For this segment, I wanted to check in with Girls on the Run. Girls on the Run is a program that works with girls ages 8 through 13 each year. It culminates with a 5K run each year. Locally, the Girls on the Run program will hold its 5K in Berrien Springs coming up in May, and they'll also have one in Decatur in the month of June. That's for young girls from Van Buren and Cass counties. And so Girls on the Run recently released a report on the benefits that the program has on the young ladies who take part. I have chatted with Girls on the Run Southwest Michigan Director Julie Boss about this. And so let's hear that conversation now. All right, Julie, tell us a bit about what this international study looked at and what it found.
So Girls on the Run is actually working on helping girls improve five different areas in their lives: competence, confidence, caring, character, connection, and contribution. And then girls are learning very specific skills and strategies, such as how to manage emotions, helping others, making intentional decisions, resolving conflict. And those are things that they can use at home, at school, and then in their friendships. Hmm. So the longitudinal study then was actually looking at, does the program really help in these areas? Okay. And so we were very excited that the evidence strongly suggests that, yes, indeed, it actually provides transformative change in the lives of the young girls. So almost 97% of the girls said that they actually learned some critical life skills, including managing their emotions, resolving conflicts, helping others, and making an intentional decisions. And then 40% of there was a 40% change in girls who were the least active at the start of the season to the end of the season. So 40% of them actually increased their physical activity by being involved in the program. And that it also showed that actually the girls that need the program the most are actually benefiting from it as well.
So do they just survey girls who have taken part in Girls on the Run?
They've actually been doing pre and post surveys for, well, the program is 20 years old, so for the past 20 years. And my understanding is that it was actually going and compiling part of that evidence. Mm-hmm. And then also studies that they've been doing in comparison with other programs. So like they compared the results to organized sports programs, physical education programs, and stuff like that. the impact as well.
Right. And so if Girls on the Run is more than 20 years old now, it's, I mean, there's got to be girls who took part in it when they were kids and now they're fully grown adults.
Yeah. Well, small story. I got involved when my daughter was a fourth grader and she just turned 24. So, Yeah, kind of neat to, you know, to see that impact over that long a period of time.
Great. And so, you know, with a new school year starting up here, parents will probably in the coming months start to hear about Girls on the Run, and maybe they'll get a message that this is a beneficial program they might want their daughters to be in.
It definitely is, and it's one of those very convenient after-school programs because the majority of the girls are actually meeting at a school, so they just go to the gymnasium or the cafeteria or wherever they meet after school, and parents don't have to transport them to the program usually, and then they just have to come and pick them up. So in that sense, there's a convenience part of it as well. But yeah, it's really great in that it's also affirming and reconfirming a lot of the things that the kids are learning in school and what parents are trying to teach their children as well.
And do you typically sign participants up through their schools?
Yeah, so we actually have programs in public schools, private schools, faith-based organizations, after-school programs like the Boys and Girls Club, the YMCA. We're working and kind of contacting, starting with the beginning of the school year, we'll actually be contacting, you know, any potential site in our four-county area. So some of those will be returning programs, you know, like they've done it in the past and they'll be coming back on. But we also have a number of opportunities for new sites to come on, and we're very excited to be able to offer the program to a number of girls that haven't had that opportunity before.
All right, and Girls on the Run will begin registering participants in November.
Well, participant registration will actually open November 15th. So a lot of the schools, a lot of our site liaisons, who is the person that kind of coordinates it right at the program site, will be handing out flyers and sending papers home, you know, with girls with their parents. So parents, look in your backpacks and then telling them with instructions on how to register. But actually the easiest thing is for people to go to our website, okay, which is GOTRSWMI.org. And all of the sites that are available, there's links for them to just register because it's all online registration. And that'll open on the dot on November 17th. And that'll be open until January 17th.
All right. What's that website again?
Yeah, sure. GOTRSWMI.org.
GOTR.
And there's more information about the longitudinal study there as well.
All right. We're talking with Julie Boss of Girls on the Run, Southwest Michigan. Julie, so Girls on the Run will start signing girls up this year, and then they start working with them sort of for several months, and it all culminates with a 5K run.
Yep, the one in Berrien County will be at the Berrien County Youth Fairgrounds in Berrien Springs, and then we will be having a separate 5K for Van Buren, Cass, and St. Joseph counties, and that will actually be at Decatur High School.
Was that in May?
May 17th will be the Berrien County one, and June 1st will be the Van Buren, Cass, and St. Joseph one.
And you're expecting hundreds of participants.
Yes. Well, right? Probably in Berrien, we're looking at probably be between 700 and 800 in Berrien County, and then another 700 and 800 in Van Buren, Cass, and St. Joseph. Yes. Yeah, we kind of had to split it because there's no place large enough to hold 1,500 girls, plus all their families and everything like that. So, yeah.
Okay, we were just talking with Julie Boss. She is the director of Girls on the Run Southwest Michigan. They recently released a study on the benefits of girls taking part in the program. It builds their self-esteem. It makes them better decision makers. It teaches them healthy life skills. Julie outlined some of the findings in this report. We have a link to it at WSJM.com. If you just Google Girls on the Run WSJM, you'll probably be able to find it. There's a link to it. And you can also find out more at their website, girlsontherun.org, on what this report found. Julie tells us in the coming months they'll start signing up girls for this program, and then everything culminates with the big 5K runs that they have in Berrien Springs in May. And also there's a Van Buren and Cass County program that'll be done in Decatur in June, actually. So that's Julie Boss with Girls on the Run telling us a bit about that program and the benefits it has on the girls who take part. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This has been another edition of Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. I am the host, My name is Andrew Green. If you'd like to weigh in on something that we discussed on today's show, just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. Earlier on today's show, we talked about the St. Joe City Commission meeting from this week. Then we checked in with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services to talk about the importance of establishing a child's paternity at birth. And of course, just now we chatted with Julie Boss, director of Girls on the Run Southwest Michigan. On tomorrow's show, we'll learn about the Berrien County Road Commission, the latest on that, with the board chair of the Berrien County Board of Commissioners. Also tomorrow, we will learn about an historic ship, a replica of one of Christopher Columbus's ships. Well, actually, two of them. They're going to be at the South Haven Maritime Museum coming up shortly. So we'll learn about that on tomorrow's show with the Michigan Maritime Museum in South Haven. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. That does it for our take. As always, I hope you have a fantastic rest of your Wednesday.